the things that we're about are so simple that they defy analysis. And the idea of that simplicity is so foreign to your minds that we have to approach it from the standpoint of seeing everything that it isn't before you can see what it is. Your very nature, your genetic structure, Louis, would you slide down? I can't see behind you. Your genetic structure demands that you be as a God. Christ himself said that. You are by nature gods. And so when someone comes along that tells you something that's opposed to that, or tells you to take it to its fullness, then you just say, what? This doesn't mean anything. You have to, by your nature, go through a process in which you judge for yourself good and evil. You can say all day, I shouldn't judge for myself good and evil. And then the moment that you're confronted with a stimulus that you believe is threatening to you, or threatening to you or yours, you immediately go into this, well, I should be this way, or I shouldn't do that, or this is the way it should be, or this is the way it shouldn't be. Now, do you understand that's your nature? And the moment you do that, the very instant that you fall back into a position where you say, I shouldn't feel this way, or I shouldn't do this, or this is the way it should be, or this is the way it shouldn't be, that you have in that instant given the ground back. It's as though you never heard. It's as though nothing and everything that I've ever said to you will make no sense, and you'll go through a process where you define again a scheme by which you can try to return to life. Try to return to a position that you think is good, as opposed to the position you're in, which you think is evil. Am I communicating? Now, everything we've studied lately, from the waters of jealousy to the ashes of the red heifer, to the beginnings of the study of leprosy, says that that act of returning to defining for yourself what is good and evil, what is right and wrong, the shoulds and shouldn'ts, that that act, the simple, that horizon in your mind, that knife edge when you fall over, is called rebellion. Not only is it called rebellion, it's called as the sin of witchcraft.
That's when you follow.
The moment you say, I should be this way or I shouldn't be that way, or this should be that way or that shouldn't be this way, because it is affirming, doubling, that you have eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It affirms your fall, the fallenness of your whole being. Am I communicating? Now, for most of you, you don't think it's possible to live any other way. And you spend your entire life trying to protect yourself because of that. But you understand, the moment you do that, you're as though you're a witch. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Thou shalt not allow a witch to live. Fortunately, it doesn't say anything about bitches. Is it, can you in your wildest imaginings believe that the moment that you enter back into the process of thinking, or you don't have to say it, just thinking it, that this is right and this is wrong, you are as a witch from God's standpoint? Now please, if you don't understand that, say it. You might get tricked again if you don't say it.
Well, they understand
that. Because you're trying to sorcerize to get out of something?
Because you have denied, because you simply are affirming, because you're in the state of rebellion. And the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. How in the world can you not do that? You sound, all of you, sound so sincere. In all of your little stuff. Well, I think this. Well, I feel that. Well, the scriptures indicate, but you know. But you understand, at that point there's that great gulf that you cannot cross over. The moment you are in the ball game that defines, well, this is my feeling. You are, this is what I think is right, and this is what I think is wrong. There is, as though there were, it's the gulf of Abraham and Lazarus. It's the great gulf that you cannot get there from here. You cannot find truth. Because you are denying everything about the mystery of God. And you try with all of your talents, mostly sincerity, to reach back across the gulf that you visited briefly a few times. There's no life. There's no hope. It's as though you were as far from truth as from here to the sun. Now, God damn it, most of you have spent every moment since I've known you on the wrong side. We've studied the waters of jealousy. We've studied the ashes of the red heifer. We're studying other things now about leprosy. We've studied the law. We've studied and seen mysteries beyond mysteries. And the moment you leave here, 5 minutes later, you're back across the inseparable gulf. Why? Why can't you accept grace? And then you begin the process of manipulation, of oppression, of hustling, of conning. To change yourself. To return to something that you think is valuable. can't get by with that anymore. Never again. After tonight, while we study what we're going to study tonight, you will never again have a justification to be on the wrong side of the inseparable gulf. If you are on the wrong side of that gulf, I will, without apology, ask you to leave. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been. I don't care how I feel about you after the flesh. If I perceive that you are on the wrong side of the gulf, I'll ask you to leave. Now, I want you to feel the fear of God a moment. And it's not a matter of... We have a place to go. We have a thing to accomplish. That if you are on that wrong side, if you are on... It's like we've got cart ropes thrown back. And it's holding, and it's choking the rest of the people. Never again. And I will do it without mercy. Because I'm not defining anything that doesn't exist. I'm just speaking what already, this condition that already exists. And you're just kidding yourself and everybody else by hanging around. You understand me? Now, some of the other people that have groups might let you go there, put up with your bullshit. Sit around about resolutions after the flesh and how you can do this and how you can do that. I'm not going. Maybe that's why God in His infinite wisdom has defined there's different groups of people. Different teachers. And the other teachers won't do this to you because they're afraid that nobody will come. They know they should, but they won't, just like I did. I knew I should have a long time ago. Now hopefully tonight is a bellwether mark. It's a point of it's a line of demarcation. That we will never again be the same. Okay, go to 1 Peter. Now, some of the people in Bananas got a hint of this last night. Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. All of you know what that meant. The oracle of God is a position. That place between the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant is called the Oracle of God. That's where your life is hid. So no matter what it is that you speak or think or do or act, any deed, any function, anything, you are speaking or doing or whatever as the oracle of God. No other position is acceptable. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, never giving a holy rat's ass for what you don't have. never being in a position of wishing you had more than you have, but simply, openly and without apology, dealing with what's in hand. Understand? If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now that's the way God is glorified. If you're speaking, you're speaking as the word of God or the oracle of God. If you're ministering, you're doing it as the way, whatever it is you have. Okay, that sounds pretty simple. Beloved, think it not strange, the next sentence, concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Now, that just took care of all of you. Busybodies. Again, evildoer means self-seekers, murderers, thieves. Most of you spend half your life robbing God, the other half robbing the body. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to come upon you to try you as though some strange thing had happened to you. Because you're speaking as the oracles of God. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evil doer, or as a busybody in other man's affairs. You have now seen enough and now know enough, where from now on it is impossible for you to suffer as an evil doer. It's impossible for you to suffer as a murderer. It's impossible for you to suffer as a thief. It's impossible for you to suffer because of your unbelief. It's impossible for you to suffer even because of your stupidity. It's impossible for you to suffer for anything. Anything that you consider as a negative experience on your vessel is simply the sufferings of Christ. Do you understand me? I don't think you do. It doesn't matter what thing that the eyes see on their part, you'll always be spoken evil of. It doesn't matter what thing that the senses perceive about you or what you perceive about someone else. It is impossible for you to suffer for anything other than being a believer. It's impossible for you to suffer for anything other than being Jesus Christ in your form. It's impossible to have any doubt. That's just the sufferings of Christ. It's impossible to have a need. That's just the sufferings of Christ. That's the mystery of the gospel in its grand simplicity. And it takes away from you the right to judge from this point and forevermore your stupid ideas of what right and wrong should be. If you don't hear this, you are a leper. You understand? Leprosy is rebellion. I can't do anything to make you inside the camp or outside the camp. I can only by discernment speak what is. And even if I make a mistake, if you believe me, you'll get mad at me. So I can't make a mistake. Because once you get mad at me, you're outside the camp anyway. Do you understand me?
Run it, Mike.
If I told you you're outside the camp and you knew you were wonderful, that you were at perfect peace, then you'd tell me, go take a flying leap. But if I told you you were outside the camp and to leave, and you knew you were outside the camp, you'd try to justify yourself. You understand?
No.
I want you to understand, this is big time.
What if you don't justify it?
What if you don't what?
Don't justify it. If you said that the person is outside the camp and they know that they're outside the camp and they don't...
Then that means they're happy being stupid.
Or just being quiet.
Yeah, or being quiet.
Being yeah.
They're just lying. They're living a lie.
They'd be better off if they justified themselves. Then it would be.
At least they'd be open.
That's the best justification for justifying.
What are the perceived suffering? Is that the same way that perceived suffering is in here? I mean, if there's any suffering that we experience, you know, the contradiction of you know, when you said all those things and we know that those things are true, then that, I mean, we suffer right now. And are those the sufferings of Christ that happen?
There's no thing that can happen in the entire known universe to anyone in the face of the earth that isn't the suffering of Christ.
Amen.
You understand that? There's no... All that I'm doing is revealing how you're opposing yourself.
Yeah.
And it's time to stop.
The idea that the place where it always sneaks up is rebellion, is the potter saying to the clay, why did you make me thus? And that's why you're saying the stuff about sincerity, because you can always say, well, you know, if I just was a little more, you know, something or whatever, but that's rebellion. That's
denying.
Because you're seeing yourself as something other than exactly the way God made you.
Because you see it as suffering?
No. Because you see it as you. Yeah.
See it as you suffering.
Because you see, you perceive it as something that is a fruit of the independent self.
It's happening to me.
It's happening to me. I'm back at the center of the universe. Do you understand me? Do you understand that there's no thought that you can have from now on, never has been, that wasn't the thought of Jesus Christ? And therefore the thought of the Father. Do you understand that there's no emotion that you can have that wasn't the emotion of Christ, and therefore the emotion of the Father? Do you understand that there's no deed that you can accomplish, that you can do, that wasn't that of Christ, therefore that of the Father, because they're one?
I'm saying it's the difference between this and that or whatever is that there's those who know it and those who don't. And that to me is what I see as the gulf.
That's why examine right. Yourselves. Prove that you're in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you except you be reprobate. If you're reprobate, you're incapable of repentance.
It's true.
And you don't know it. You don't know that Jesus Christ is in you, as Gary said. Yeah. And so you're gone anyway. But you're not connecting. There's something missing in the equation in the group. You don't understand that there's nothing that you can ever again, there's nothing that can ever again happen to you, and you cannot take any independent action.
Somehow this is coming out as a negative.
Purposefully.
Yep. Well, since it's not the end of the night yet, and we can ask questions on this side of the end of the night.
What does that mean?
Well, it's not the end of the night. You said at the end of the night, You don't understand.
You didn't understand it.
He's evil now, but not later.
Yeah.
Good point.
Well, it's the sufferings of Christ, and it's his thoughts, and it's happening to him. If that's an eternal fact. Whether or not I perceive it or anybody else perceives it. There's a point where somehow what you're saying, you become responsible for that. If you don't perceive it later on, then if you don't perceive this as the sufferings of Christ, or if you perceive it as a suffering, I'm not. You're right. I'm not understanding some point right here. So we're in agreement.
But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will.
That they may recover themselves,
or the word really means in the Greek, to recover yourself means to wake up.
I keep thinking about all the little subtle times that you blow up, and you do something that you automatically judge as something you shouldn't do.
Okay, now, some of you are feeling antsy at this point, a little nervous, a little weird, a little mad at me. Why? For the time has come, the next verse that we didn't study yet, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. It's unto a faithful creator. And the word well-doing there is better translated abiding. Now, what have I said tonight? I have not said anything that's any different from anything I've ever told you. Except it's tied to what we are studying about leprosy. Uzziah, the king, went, he'd done reasonably well for a lot of years as the king of Israel. Right? Second Chronicles 26. Don't go there, but just read about it. He'd done reasonably well as the king of Israel, as a king in Israel, for several years. And all of a sudden, he decided that he wanted to light the incense altar in the temple. So he took the censer in his hand, the incense altar with a censer. He took the censer in his hand and was walking to the temple. And at that moment, the priest rebuked him because he was taking on himself the ministry or the duties of the high priest. And the moment he rebuked him, leprosy formed in his forehead. Now, the reason that that doesn't make a lot of sense to you is that you have been the king in your temple. King being the one in control. That's all you've ever done. All you've ever done is light your own censer. In other words, think that you were having independent thoughts. You understand me? And so when I tell you something that's the greatest news of all time in all of history, you get threatened by it. What happened to Uzziah? He got leprosy, which was the sign ever and always of rebellion, and he was forever banned from the people, from the nation of Israel. Cut off forever. Utterly, you know, normally lepers, for those of you who weren't here the other night, leprosy, if it occurs any other place other than your forehead, then you get to go to the regular leper camp and you get fellowship with a bunch of other lepers. That's all the world is from that standpoint, from that metaphor. The world is a leper camp, and you've had fellowship with a bunch of lepers. All of them in a state of rebellion. That's all you've ever known. But now, the leprosy is exposed as being in your forehead. Now, if the leprosy is in your forehead, by the law in Leviticus 13, you are utterly cast out. In other words, you are from that point on forever alone. You cannot associate even with a leper that also has leprosy in his forehead.
This might be where the antiness is coming.
You will be forever alone. You'll be banned even from the leper colonies that have the regular lepers in. All for having leprosy in your forehead. That's all I'm saying to you. I'm just showing you the law.
What does leprosy in the forehead mean?
Rebellion.
Oh, that means rebellion.
Well, all of it means rebellion, but this one means the rebellion that is incapable of repentance.
Thinking your own thoughts.
Thinking your own thoughts.
Have your own thoughts or something.
Thinking you have your own thoughts.
Yeah, that was a symbol of him wanting to light the fire himself. He wanted to have his own thoughts.
Fire represents the thoughts.
Be responsible for his own thoughts. Control his own thoughts.
Yeah, but the leprosy appeared. And he wanted to light it. The priest rebuked him, and then he got pissed at the priest, and that's when the leprosy came. He was warned.
Yeah. Now, all I'm saying to you is that, number one, you have never in the past ever had your own thoughts. You have never, up to this point, never, ever, ever. I don't care what you've done, what it looks like you've done. God does. God, as Jesus Christ, it's not our business to judge what the thoughts are. It's either all of faith or all of no faith. Now, all I'm telling you is what has been already eternally true. You have spent a lifetime in leper colonies. Because you have believed that you were living your own life. And in truth, you know that you've been a leper. You know that no one ever really, everybody shunned you. I mean, we're talking gut level now, right? I don't care about what your little games were, how your little you know, co-acting with other people were. You've been shunned. You have been in a leper. You have been a leper all your life. God, you put on makeup to try to make, to cover up those marks. More and more makeup. Give me more. Now, under the law, we, up to this point, have just been another leper camp. Understand me? We'll see this much more clearly when we get more and more in detail. All we've been thus far is a leper colony. And now, all of them people that think they are saved, or think they are cool, they've been shunning us as lepers. Now, somebody once described eternity. I guess it was that movie that somebody saw the other night, that Einstein allegedly, or somebody described eternity as taking an orange or a balloon and turning it inside out over an, I mean, you know, it by itself, as being a solid sphere, it turns itself inside out. Well, that's what we're about to do, folks. Now, you can't get by with leprosy here anymore. Because we have been declared clean by the law itself, because we've seen that we are totally leprous. And now the word comes and says, now you are clean. But every once, you know, I can look at your foreheads and I can see a spot trying to come out. Right now, there's some of you are pretty damn close to having a big spot in your forehead. And from here, you are utterly banned. All for refusing grace. You can't have a thought of your own. Every thought you think is his thought. You can't have a word of your own. Every word you speak is his word. You can't have a deed of your own. Every deed you do is his deeds, because you are forever joined as one. All I'm doing is reveal your propensity for an independent self. Now, that's not going to be permitted any longer, because we as a leper camp has been declared clean. Because all of a sudden, all of us knew we were guilty. We were totally and completely leprous, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. Now, no one can ever again suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters, or as anything else. You can only suffer as a Christian. Anything that you are experiencing as a negative doesn't have anything to do with you. That's the news. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And if you suffer or bear the reproach as a Christian, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, and reproach just means it doesn't matter. I mean, anything. Happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he in you is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. Hallelujah. From that point forth and forevermore. But if you spend any more of your time sitting around trying to figure out yourself, trying to improve yourselves, trying to think, oh, I shouldn't think that, or I shouldn't say that, I shouldn't be this, I shouldn't be that, then you are the independent leper that is utterly and totally cast off and has no fellowship even with other lepers. Amen? Does everybody understand? No justification. No more justifying yourself. This is so simple. You are now begotten unto an alive hope, a sure promise. And this has lost its hold on you because now guilt cannot touch you. You cannot suffer for anything that you think you should or shouldn't have done. You are begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead in you. Now, the glory of God, maybe for the first time since we've been a body, has filled the temple. Now, some feel fear and some elation. That's the way it'll always be.
This is another one of God's fail-safes. This is a fail-safe gospel. This gospel can only be preached by Jesus Christ. It is impossible for this gospel to be preached by anyone who does not know all of his thoughts are Jesus Christ, all of his words, all of his actions, all of his deeds, etc. It is impossible to be passed on unless Jesus Christ be resurrected in that person. It's impossible. A man cannot preach this because a man will never tell anyone, much less a group of people, your thoughts are the thoughts of God, don't judge them. Your actions are the actions of God, don't judge them. Because a man will not trust.
Well, maybe now for the first time you can begin to understand what faith is and the risk of faith. Anybody have anything to say? You understand that phrase that we studied? On their part, he is evil spoken of. You know, in that 2 Peter. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. That means now you can understand what it means to glory in tribulation. Because there is no thing that can take place in your life that you perceive as negative that isn't the suffering of Christ. And you're counted worthy being able to suffer for Christ. Now the mystery is, you don't, he has, see that's what, oh thank you. No.
I've given up wine.
Do you understand? He has suffered. Here. He has suffered once. So our suffering has only one point, to bring us to the point where we see he has suffered. I mean, he's already paid the price. So the thing that you're perceiving as negative doesn't have anything to do with anything that you think it does. It just is something to drive you to you. I mean, to him. Amen. So that you know who you are.
Amen.
Well, it's, I mean, to the true you. But this is good news. I mean, you guess you don't have anything left. You're not going to be tested anymore. You hear me? You're not going to suffer anymore. Because it's him. Let none of you suffer as an evildoer, as a busybody. I mean, God picked the ones, you know, that were the obvious. He could have said, let none of you suffer as a man who extorts $5 million. And then it would just been, oh, was...
Oh, I thought you were referring to us as opposed to the category.
When
you said he picked the
obvious.
Yeah.
No, he picked the ones that you have to be guilty of. so that you would see that it's either all or nothing. Let none of you suffer. And that's just the Latin. You don't have to anymore. Let none of you suffer as an evildoer, or as a busybody, or as a murderer, or as a thief. Because those things are gone. Now it's him. I don't care how bad you screw up. He paid the price. Therefore, it's him that's suffering. Now this is so simple. But there's no one that's going to teach you this. And everybody will say you should be different than you are, including your mind. Okay, we don't have to do that anymore. Amen? Okay. Anybody else have anything? Now this is now we can understand a greater degree, a greater movement into the understanding of the covenant. Now you can see why because he's obligated to treat your flesh as his flesh, he took control of it. He's not dumb. Every knee is already bowing. Every tongue is already confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now he is as you are. You are as he is.
Something about this bread. We see the bread, we see that it's one piece, and we break it up. A bunch of small pieces, and everybody eats a small piece. That's what we see. But what's really happening is the bread that's broken into all those small pieces is coming together as one. And the blood that's all these separate little glasses is coming together as one.
It's one. Mm-hmm. Amen. You understand? Get Rick's... Rick! He's gone to his office.
I'm driving a car.
It's always the first place you go. Check the messages.
You make fun of him when he's here. Make fun of him when he's here. You understand? What's happening with Buck? Buck is going crazy over there. You had several friends with you out there that were trying to make. With much tribulation, we must enter into the kingdom. That same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. He broke it, and he blessed it, and he said, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth, who bringeth forth the one bread of life from these and this as an earthen vessel. We came from the same stalk. There was one seed. We are closer than close can be, not just to each other, but to the Father. And anything that gives you the sense of separation is just lies. part of that covenant, remember, that was from the ancient societies. He's saying, as this bread is me, so now as you eat this bread is you. And I am obligated by law to guide you, to nourish you, to cherish you, because no man ever yet hated his own flesh. That's good matzah.
Yeah.
It's never tasted that.
Relatively
sweet. And he took the cup. They took the cup.
John.
And he gave thanks, saying, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Now see that all of your efforts at good and evil, at judging for yourself good and evil, are simply an effort for you to make yourself worthy. You wouldn't do it if you didn't think you had to do it. You understand that? Mm-hmm. You don't have to make yourself worthy anymore. What kind?
Like Catholic Church.
Gary said
smoke your breast. I love it when
neat the other night.
What?
Gary said something neat the other night.
Gary, yeah, let's go to the room.
Well, we want to hear it then.
Say, let's go to the room.
Did you do it there? Did you do it there?
Say something.
Anyway, I was saying something to him about something I felt like I'd done wrong. And he said, well, I guess we'll just have to go to hell.
That's
and it was wonderful.
Great.
It was like, yeah. You know, it was the freedom. You know, it's like, yeah, what am I trying to, you know?
What am I talking about? It's like, if you get back into that, you might as well
take
it all away.
That's what faith is. You know, I guess we'll just, you know, I have to be me. I guess I'm just going to have to go to hell. If he can't do it, then just have to go.
We're going to start judging ourselves.
Amen.
That's where it leads.
Amen.
Straight down to the pit. Highway to hell.
Thanks be to God, which always, always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
We are a sweet savor of God in everywhere, in every place, in every time. To the one we are a savor of life unto life. The one. To the other, flesh, we're a savor of death unto death. And who is sufficient for these things? He always causes us to triumph. He always causes all things to work together for good.